Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you.
Hello, and welcome to episode 293 of Dogcast Radio, which is all about guinea pigs. Yes, guinea pigs. We've had many guinea pigs over the years, and it's Guinea Pig Awareness Week, and press releases were coming in from all over the place, including one from the RSPCA about guinea pigs and other small furries. Plus, I had the chance to interview Clementine Scootenden, so it felt like a good time to focus on a different species. I hope you'll listen, and I hope you'll find it interesting. I know many of us dog owners share our lives with other pets too, and I devote so much time trying to help make dogs' lives as happy and healthy as possible. Surely all our pets should have that chance. Should have that right. Clementine Scootenden is the founder and CEO of Cavi, an award-winning global brand redefining small pet care. She has a PhD in genetics, and she combined her scientific expertise with entrepreneurial vision to transform a neglected niche into a thriving international business. And goodness knows how many guinea pigs she's helped along the way, as well as their guinea pig parents. So without further ado, here's Clementine.
Hi, Clementine.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. And we're going to talk about, now, a big subject, small pets. So I like to get my silly puns and jokes in. So, but it is a big subject, and it's small pets, but particularly guinea pigs. Now, we have had guinea pigs, and they are just wonderful. And I was just thinking, when they become aware of you, and they do that sort of weak, 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 like, look at me, I'm over here. It's just lovely, isn't it? I love guinea pigs.
They are absolutely adorable.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have guinea pigs of your own right now?
So Kevin started because I had guinea pigs. I had three adorable boys, yeah. And I loved them to bits. They were also very different, personalities, but all of them were very communicative, exactly yes. What you were saying. They're like miniature dogs. And I think people misunderstand them badly, which is, you know, exactly the conversation we're going to have today. But yeah, guinea pigs are adorable.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love them. I've had them, oh gosh, more years than I care to remember. I'm just thinking, I think I was about 13. Oh my goodness. So that's 40 something years. Oh my goodness. I don't have any right now, but I've loved guinea pigs a long, long, long time. And they are wonderful. And I do think that with an animal, particularly a small animal, our dogs and cats live in the house with us, but we've had rabbits that have lived, not a house rabbit, but a rabbit that's lived in the laundry, in the sort of the laundry utility. And we've had a guinea pig that was there as well. I know you're going to tell me off and say guinea pigs shouldn't be in with rabbits. I know, I didn't know that then. I'm sorry. but we have, and the more space they have and the more opportunity for experience they have, the more you see their little characters come out. So, do you want to address that? Because I've just mentioned that. So do tell me off, because I didn't know then, but really, should guinea pigs live with rabbits?
No, it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Because rabbits can be quite boisterous and they're quite a lot stronger than guinea pigs. So a rabbit could accidentally hurt a guinea pig. Mm. And they're quite different species as well. So they don't exactly have the same nutritional needs as well, yeah. Or the same kind of behaviors.
Yeah.
So I think while most of the time it's probably okay, it's just not recommended.
Yes. Yeah. You're not setting yourself up for success necessarily, are you, if you do that? It's not like you're a bad person, but it's not. And the animals might not be as happy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you're better off having two guinea pigs. They have to live in groups or at least pair. So if you can have two guinea pigs, then that's really the best setup.
Yeah, yeah. You live and learn as you go along, don't you? Is it Switzerland? I may have got the wrong country. Is it Switzerland that's just passed a law where you have to have? Yes, it is, isn't it?
So that's right. Yeah, that's right. And I think it's probably the first of many countries, but it is just very, you know, sad to leave a guinea pig on its own. It needs the interaction of a companion. And that's part of their basic need, just like having access to a lot of space.
Yeah.
It's something that we have to understand and that we have to provide for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I will come straight back to space, but I was just going to say, whatever animal it is, you need to do your research. Because, for example, people often keep hamsters in groups or two or three. And mostly, you know, certainly your Syrian hamsters won't like that. So you need to research. And we do get it wrong a lot of the time when we think, oh, put them in groups or don't put them in groups. Get to know your animal, isn't it?
Yes, and I think there's just a lot of confusion, sadly. I think people think that guinea pigs and hamsters are the same, or that guinea pigs are like rabbits or rats, but they're all very different.
Yeah.
All very different. And it's really important for us at Kevi to educate and do all this awareness raising. When we started the business, we also invested a lot of time and resources into a blog. And I personally wrote most of those articles because I wanted people to not only have the right products, but also to have the right knowledge.
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, we're talking 8 years ago, we were barely a handful of specialist blogs about guinea pigs.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We think we know them because we've kept, I mean, as a species, humans have kept them for a long while. And you think, oh, yes, I know about them. And then you start to investigate and you go, oh, I really don't, in so many ways. So let's go back to space, because we have found this out when we got a hamster. We had a rescue hamster. My daughter's friend was working at volunteering at the RSPCA shelter. And this lovely, lovely hamster came in and we had him. We were lucky enough to have him for quite a while and he was wonderful. But we had to get a much, much bigger environment for him than we had. I mean, I'm indicating with my hands, but I think we ended up with sort of like a big thing from IKEA that was about 4 foot long. And you would have thought, a hamster needs that much, really? So tell me, how much space does a guinea pig need?
We recommend for a pair of guinea pigs, because, you know, as I explained earlier, you want your guinea pig to have a friend always. We recommend a cage that is at least 1.4 meter long.
Mm-hmm.
And 60 centimeter in width. That is really the minimum, because guinea pigs are not small, as a matter of fact. Some of them can get quite big and they love to run around, they love to explore, they love to forage, and that is really the very minimum that you should give them. The moment you put them in a cage that's big enough, you'll see behaviors that are fascinating to watch. They run around, they jump around, they popcorn, they make happy noises. And it is just so obvious that they are happy in a bigger space, that they need it, simply.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the driver of everything I've done in those last years, is making sure that more guinea pigs in the world have access to space.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that, because it's so... You know, a lot of us have ideas or passions, or we think, oh, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be a better world if? And then life gets busy and you don't do it. So I love projects like this and companies like this where it's come from a genuine love and you've seen the need. And so many of these animals you love not having as good a life as they could. And I love that it's come from that authentic place.
Yes, and I've, you know, I think when I founded Kevi because of my own need as a guinea pig parent, and I never expected how much demand we would have to face.
Yeah.
But obviously a lot of people were thinking the same and were looking for solutions like I was. And it was never meant to become such a big thing. But it just has snowballed into this global brand. And I'm like, obviously, you know, if you really do care about your pets, and even if you just like put two and two together, if you spend just an hour observing them, you will realize what's going on. So yes, I think it was, I feel so lucky to be able to do that and make my, little difference to the world.
Yeah, yeah. But if we all, I always think this, if we all follow our passion, if we all make a difference to the world in the way that appeals to us, in the way that matters to us, the world gets better. But we can't all, not everybody is going to, you know, do dogs or guinea pigs or whatever it is, or I don't know, model trains, whatever. But if you do it, if we all take our passion and do the best we can, that's how the world gets better and kinder, hopefully, doesn't it?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, it's obviously challenging to go against the current status quo. And I think I sometimes reflect on why I was able to do it. And I think the less you know about an industry or a niche, the more you're able to disrupt it, because you're not influenced by the current, you know, ways of thinking.
Yeah.
And that was exactly the case for me. You know, I never worked in the pet industry. I was never trying to conform with what was going on. And I would, and also because we were online, I never had to fit in certain criteria that pet store would give me in terms of margin or in terms of format, or I had all the freedom to make it work. And I think that has played an enormous role in our success.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking as you were saying though, you know, the information is out there. We know now that almost any small animal you mentioned needs a bigger environment than most pet shops present to us. You know, if you go into, I'm not going to name any, but if you go into your local pet shop and have a look, most of the environments actually will not be as large as the advice is to get that for them. And I guess, again, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Because there must be in financial terms, an ideal amount of space that you can give that animal that you still get the return. People are likely to buy it. Yeah, the animal might not be as happy, but you know, and you're going to make a profit, and it shouldn't be, at the end of the day, we all have to make a living, but it shouldn't be about just making that profit. I always say with dogs, and you can make it any animal, it's when the love of the money, the pound, the dollar, whatever it is, outweighs the love of the animal, that's when you get problems.
Yeah, and I think interestingly, like small brands like mine show that you can change the world for good and actually be profitable. You know, we are lucky to be able to employ a wonderful team here in London and support several families that way. We also support a guinea pig sanctuary on the Isle of Wight, and I think actually it's not. I don't think the financial aspects were the blocker. I think it's more around anyone who was designing a guinea pig cage back in the days just didn't even know what a guinea pig was. They were not a guinea pig parent. They had no idea what was going on in the life of a guinea pig, right?
Yeah.
I came in and I had the living experience day in, day out of caring for guinea pigs. And I think that's really the game changer here, because I knew exactly what my pets needed. And I think because dogs and cats, that's one thing. And I think the second thing is because the dog and the cat market is so enormous in comparison to small pets. I understand when you're a big pet company serving all sorts of species, from dogs to, you know, reptiles, then it is really difficult to justify making an investment towards small pets, or at least the incentive is not exactly there. While for us, you know, this is exactly a space that we want to capture and that we want to understand and where we can do the right thing. So I think it's brilliant to see small brands like ourselves challenging the status quo. And now I can tell you that the bigger players have understood what we're doing, and I'm having conversations with the broader pet industry almost on a weekly basis about that.
Brilliant. Excellent. Excellent. It takes a frustrating amount of time for the research and, you know, best practice to filter down in anything. But it's, you know, you just have to keep chipping away and putting the information out there. So saying that.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like the first 5 years of Kevi, no one understood what I was doing. No one got it, you know. Mm. Everyone thought it was a bit quirky and niche. And I was like, it's not niche, it's not quirky, it's needed. It's, yeah. It's as a society, shouldn't we do, you know, shouldn't we provide for all animals, wildlife and pets in the best possible way? And so I feel like the penny finally dropped this year. Like, small pet welfare is on the map, but I feel like for a long time it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really unfortunate that often it's sort of, oh, we can't have a cat or dog, let's get you a guinea pig or a rabbit or whatever it is. But you still have to make that animal happy. So if people are thinking, yes, I'll get my child, whatever, a guinea pig, what kind of, first of all, let's look at habitat. What kind of housing cage or whatever you will tell me it will be. Might not be like a cage like I'm thinking of. But what's the best habitat to get for them?
Yeah, so the best habitat is a modular CNC cage. So it's a cage that will be big enough for your pair of guinea pigs, but can also be extended if you can, or if you want to have more guinea pigs. So this is really the golden standard. It's really easy to put together. It's really easy to extend if you want to. It's really easy to keep clean as well. So it's really perfect, and we think it's really where the industry standard is going. So modular CNC cages. In the cage, there's quite a few things that will make your guinea pig very happy. We sell a litter tray, which is basically meant to be filled with hay. Guinea pigs absolutely adore being surrounded by hay. They give themselves hay baths, and it's just a lot of happiness for them. Lots of places to hide and nap, very comfortable bedding. The environment has to stay clean. That's really important. It's actually quite difficult. That's another reason why the cage should be quite big, because a small cage becomes dirty quite quickly, and that leads to health issues, sadly. Yeah. So there's really no way around it. You need to have a big enough cage.
Yeah, yeah. And keep on top of it and do all the cleaning. And it is, you know, it's quite a responsibility and a chore that you have to sort of keep on top of it. And as you say, keep it clean. And I think that, well, you've mentioned the sort of the litter tray. And that's really important, because they don't want to just mire around in their own poo, basically, do they? They're quite clean, as most animals are. They are quite clean. They don't want to be close up with their own poo, do they?
No, obviously they don't. No animals want that. And guinea pigs are notoriously quite difficult to stay on top of when it comes to cleaning. It's people think it's an easy, low-maintenance pet, but that is not true. Yeah. It's actually quite the opposite. Like, you will need to spot clean the cage every day.
Yeah, yeah. You see a lot of articles about, you know, I see a lot of the ones about dogs, you know, the top five low-maintenance breeds. And it's just like, blah, red flag. Or, you know, you see sort of easy pets to get for your child. And I think that's why it goes wrong so often. That, and we'll come back to that, that you cannot underestimate the commitment and the amount of work it's going to be. Now, balanced with that, hopefully you will love the animal, and it will be worth all that work and effort and worry, because you'll love them.
Yeah.
But it is a big commitment, isn't it?
It's a huge commitment. Guinea pigs live anywhere from, you know, 6 to 10 years. They will cost several hundred pounds or a dollar a year. It's a massive investment.
So saying you know, it can go wrong, particularly if you haven't done your preparation, guinea pigs do end up in rescue, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I think lots of people don't quite understand what they get themselves into, and maybe they lose interest, and they're not, I think it's really hard to bond with your guinea pigs if you haven't done the work of understanding what they need and how they react. And I think in many ways they are quite different from dogs and cats, obviously. And we see always the odd guinea pig in a rescue that was meant for cats and dogs. And you can imagine that's far from being ideal.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Oh, dear. So basically, what message do you really want to get across to people about, if they're thinking about getting a guinea pig, and I guess some of the issues may apply to other small pets, but if they're thinking about getting a guinea pig, what's the big thing that they need to know?
They need to know that it's not a guinea pig, it's guinea pigs plural, always a pair of guinea pigs, always. Also, there's a big risk that if you get two guinea pigs, you're going to get more, because they are absolutely adorable. So you're going to get the bug. But then the second thing, really, the most important thing, is to give them enough space to run around. That is the biggest gift you can give them. No treat, no toys, no amount of out-of-cage time will ever make up for having a wonderful cage. So having that is really the one thing that you should commit to giving them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. As you say, they spend most of their time in the cage. Can you let them out and sort of, do they enjoy coming out and interacting with you?
Yes, I think all guinea pigs are different. It's nice to stimulate them and it's nice to bond with them. Most guinea pigs will enjoy being cuddled and handled, and they can be quite affectionate. They can give little kisses as well, and they love being in the garden and being outside and inside as well. But you need to be careful. You need to keep an eye on them, and you need to get them used to it. It can be quite stressful. They are in the wild, they are prey animals. So they are quite fearful of danger, of prey birds, of bigger mammals like dogs and cats. So I think you need to understand that primarily they will be a bit intimidated. But they absolutely can enjoy time spent outside of the cage.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you make runs for them, like outdoor runs for them as well?
Runs. We also have a range of lap pads to kind of cuddle your guinea pig and interact with your guinea pigs on your lap. And we definitely want to encourage bonding.
Yeah, definitely. This may not be within your remit, but if you're going to have a guinea pig and it's going to go outside, do they need vaccinations for that?
No, there is no need for vaccination for guinea pigs.
Oh, excellent. Okay, but you see, that's another expense that people need to factor in, isn't it? That they may need veterinary care.
Yes, absolutely. And guinea pigs are sensitive to, they are quite sensitive to some health issues, notably skin, little skin disorders and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're usually not life-threatening, but they are quite common. And you need to commit to being able to take your pet to a vet. And it's not always easy to find a knowledgeable vet when it comes to small pets. And it's also quite tricky because guinea pigs tend to hide when they are sick or injured. Again, because they are prey animals, so their tendency is to hide until it's quite late. So it's really important to spend time checking on your pets every day, making sure that everyone is eating and being happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, poor! You can just think of the poor little guinea pig going around, going, I'm all right, I'm okay. I did, you know, but because that's what they do, don't they? They just go, I'm fine. And I can remember having to bath our guinea pig, and he wasn't too bad. He cooperated, but we had to bath him. He had, I honestly can't remember what the condition was, but he had something, only a brief amount of time when we bathed him and he was okay. But if you get the right environment for them, that can help minimise the issues, can't it, and keep them healthy.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that is very true. A guinea pig that doesn't have enough space will probably be prone to overweight, obesity. Diet is also incredibly important. So you want to make sure they have access to hay and vegetables. They cannot synthesize vitamin C, so you need to bring that in a diet. Hay is extremely important for teeth management as well. And then obviously keeping the cage clean and dry at all times, that is incredibly important for keeping on top of a bacterial infection.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, again, when we go into a pet shop, what appeals to us, because we are visual animals, and sometimes what the pet shop will try to sell to us is sort of the highly coloured food with the different bits and pieces. I mean, and also, I learned a while ago, it's, as you say, they need to keep eating and using those teeth on sort of hay and things like that. So what's the best, I mean, do we need to buy a commercial guinea pig diet? What's the best way to feed them?
It's such a good question, you know, because in fact, you do not need to supplement them if you have the right diet to start with. If you have high quality hay, that should be 80% of their diet, and then fresh vegetables as well. Now, if you're unsure about meeting all their nutritional needs, then you can rely on some food pellets. But I think that's often where it goes wrong. If you think about the dogs and cat market 50, 60 years ago, it was a lot of nasties in there. It was a lot of wheat and corn and soy. And I think sadly we are still here for small pets. We are still looking at formula that are loaded with cereals.
Yeah.
And they should not be eating cereals at all. They are herbivores. So none of that is needed. It's like feeding your kids cereals in the morning. It's just carbs and sugar, and they should not be eating that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can be, it's such a wonderful pet, can't they? Such a wonderful family member. If you just do a little bit of research and do the best for them. So did you say there's information for people at your website?
Yes, we have a very extensive blog covering all sorts of topics, from nutrition to habitat, coexisting with other pets, bonding, all sorts of topics.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. And I mean, do you have any, presumably you have social media, but one of the things we love to do with our pets, isn't it, is share a picture and go, oh, look, this is my, you know, my guinea pig, my cat, my dog, more whatever. So are you finding that people like to share their pictures of their guinea pigs?
Yes, absolutely. We have a huge community online. We love to connect over our pets, and we're sharing lots of pictures, lots of cute videos. It's an extremely enjoyable part of the job.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Is there anything else that you'd like to say that you haven't had time to say yet or a chance to say yet?
No, I think, you know, I think we've covered a lot of really interesting topics. I would encourage everyone to head to kavee.com. So it's kavee.com. Check out what we're doing for guinea pigs. We have some really lovely winter collections out at the moment. And if you are considering adopting guinea pigs, I would strongly recommend it. They are wonderful, wonderful pets.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They are very, as you say, interactive. They're very sweet. They're very, I won't say verbal, but they've got a range of noises, of sounds, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they are one of the most expressive animals that we keep, which makes them absolutely fascinating. Also, in opposition to hamster, they are not nocturnal, so they will be active during the day, just like us. They are also very friendly, and they have the desire to bond with us humans, which makes them particularly cute. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I love them, and I love the little noises, and they're very, very sweet. And also, I think because they don't have, I love rats as well, but a lot of people, I think, don't like rats because of the tail. And obviously your guinea pig doesn't, yeah. Well, it doesn't have the long tail, does it?
No, they don't have a tail. Yeah. So in that sense, they're quite cute.
Yeah, smashing. Okay, thanks ever so much for that, Clementine, and the best of luck with keeping guinea pigs happy.
Thank you so much, Judy.
Huge thanks to Clementine for that interview. And in fact, there's so much to say, we're going to schedule another interview and explore some more about guinea pigs. So if you enjoyed that, and I hope you did, there's more coming. We have all the links Clementine mentioned in the show notes at dogcastradio.com. If you share your life with a guinea pig, do contact me on our social media or email me directly with photos or videos and tell me about your guinea pig or your other small pet pals, because there are so many small mammals to choose from. But sadly, the RSPCA has seen a 40% surge in guinea pigs coming into its centres, as well as having chinchillas, rabbits, hamsters, ferrets and gerbils seeking homes. With the RSPCA's annual Adoptober in full swing, and that's when they aim to raise extra awareness of the amazing animals who are looking for homes in RSPCA centres and branches after being rescued from heartbreaking cruelty and neglect, each one is unique, special and deserves to feel the joy of being in a loving home. So with Adoptober in action, the RSPCA is urging animal lovers to consider rehoming smaller pet mammals, small furries, as the charity experiences this 40% increase in guinea pigs coming into their national centres. So if you love having small furries around, you could visit the RSPCA's Find a Pet website and check out the mice, rats, chinchillas, ferrets and gerbils, as well as the guinea pigs, who are in the RSPCA's care but remain overlooked, unloved and homeless. The charity fears that the overbreeding of guinea pigs, combined with the ongoing impact of the cost of living crisis and a lack of owner knowledge about the species, is leading to an increase in the numbers of guinea pigs being given up. You can also see photos and read about some of the gorgeous little pets waiting for their forever homes at our website, dogcastradio.com. I know many of us talk to our dogs, but guinea pig owners do the same, with 96% of guinea pigs being spoken to, sung to, and even consulted for advice, according to new research from small animal experts Burgess Excel for Guinea Pig Awareness Week, which is the 20th to the 24th of October. And it's not just small talk. More than 80% of owners say they ask their guinea pig questions out loud, and 19% admit to asking them for advice. 96% of respondents believe their pets reply through chirps, purrs, weeks, you know, like weak, or their body language. But for all that talking, how much do we listen to what the guinea pigs are trying to tell us? We could do better, apparently, with that same research revealing that more than a third of owners can't recognise the signs of stress in their guinea pig. And sadly, stress is now one of the biggest hidden contributors to poor health in guinea pigs. There are links to all the articles and resources I've mentioned on the Dogcast Radio site, dogcastradio.com. And I guess the bottom line is that whatever animal we share our lives with, we should do the research, educate ourselves, and aim to make them as happy and healthy as possible. Right, I'm off to find a joke about guinea pigs for the end of the podcast, and that will make a nice change from dog jokes because, frankly, I'm running out of family-friendly, funny dog jokes. So let's see what I can come up with for guinea pigs. Anyway, until next time, look after yourselves and your dogs and your guinea pigs. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. A police officer sees a driver motoring around with a pickup truck full of guinea pigs. The officer pulls the driver over and says, "You can't drive around with guinea pigs in this town. Take them to the zoo immediately." The driver says, "OK," and drives away. The next day, the officer sees the driver still driving around with the truck full of guinea pigs, and they're all wearing sunglasses. The officer pulls the driver over and demands, "I thought I told you to take those guinea pigs to the zoo yesterday." The driver says, "Well, I did. But today, I'm taking them to the beach."